is Davin's Den.
When we were back and Pip was getting into the intro music, she was beating the beats.
No, I was fist
not
pumping
the way,
like
not the
Jersey
Shore. Was beating Joe's ass.
No!
That fist was up in the air, kind of like that. Anyway, in the rear.
Yeah, it wasn't any place close to your ass, though, Joe, I promise.
He's a patriot.
He is a patriot.
Anyway,
but
all right, we got another patriot on the air with us.
Yes,
although,
we do.
Well, he's done a lot for our country and the state of New Jersey and the local municipalities. He's not taken one with the president and saved the nation, but a patriot nonetheless. Detective Dave Daugherty joins us. How are
yes.
you, Dave?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thanks
how's
for
it going, Dave?
Again.
Hey, Dave.
Happy to have you. We love when we have interesting stories about the police, we'd like to bring Dave in for an inside perspective. And I don't mean, stories of police doing great things or police doing bad things, because that's not really a nuanced thing.
Yeah, we're not just trying to be like, yay, cheerleaders, or let's beat on the cops. It's like, this is an interesting story. What's your take?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. We don't, there's no cheerleaders here.
No.
Only for America. Right,
rah, rah, rah.
Do you mind if I could just call you like Miss Liberty from now on?
Mr. Liberty's more like.
I think Miss.
Hold on. Can you hike up your skirt and hold those pom-poms on your hips? Yeah, that's how I like it.
A nation is thankful. Anyway.
Can we leave you guys alone for a while?
What?
I'm going to leave you guys alone for a while?
No.
No.
Absolutely do not.
Please do not. Save Joe's dignity. Stay here.
Okay. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple stories. I'm going to read the give the people the facts of the stories, then we can discuss. So,
all right,
a Chapel Hill police officer, Cole P. Daniels, joined the department in 2014. Was placed on leave after being photographed with a distinctive tattoo, a Roman numeral 3 encircled by stars associated to the 3 percenters group, considered by the Southern Poverty Law Center to be among the anti-government movement that had resurgence following the election of President Obama in 2008. Thanks, Obama. Chapel Hill's police chief has known about the tattoo since at least February, according to the newspaper. That's when police chief Chris Blue, because he needed the money, left a voicemail for Megan's. Nothing from Joe. He's sore. Things a president says before he finishes. Anyway, a computer scientist. They're ruining the news.
Yes.
That's where, assholes, that's where you took it. Joe's a little teacup.
For the country. For the country.
Joe's a little teacup. The president's short and stout.
Oh.
Here's my handle. Don't you spit it out. Sorry. You're a patriot. Dave, I apologize. I'm being immature while I have you on.
No, that's quite all right. I enjoy it. Go right ahead.
Okay. So anyway, a computer science professor at Elon University gave a presentation to UNC Chapel Hill students that included a photograph of Daniel's tattoo that was taken at a rally in June 2017. The pervasiveness of the concern raised by many regarding his display of a tattoo that is associated with the 3 percenters has caused the department to question his ability to function effectively as a police officer within the community, Blue's statement read. Therefore, the police department initiated an administrative investigation in accordance with our town's personnel ordinances and police and policies and procedures. Daniels will remain on leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Any disciplinary action will be taken after consulting with the town's manager and attorneys. The 3 percenters, meanwhile, is a collection of, quote, patriotic citizens who love their country and freedoms and their liberty, according to its website. We are committing to standing against and opposing corruption and injustice. The website continues, we are not a militia. Being a 3 percenter is more of a way of life rather than a club to join. The group also denounces its anti-government label, instead insisting its members are very pro-government so long as their government abides by the Constitution, according to its website. Our goal is to utilize the fail-safes put in place by our founders to rein in an overreaching government and push back against tyranny. There is often a misconception that we are wanting to overthrow the government. This is simply not true, and a false rumor to try and paint our movement as anti-government. So, let's get into this. I guess, like,
the Could you repeat that? I wasn't paying attention. The whole thing?
Nice, Dave.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, Dave.
The president's
forget
waiting,
me.
Dave. You're up next to save a nation. So, I mean, listen, this guy's a government worker, but, I mean, the tattoo is on his own person. I mean, should the question is, should government workers be allowed to express themselves on their bodies?
That's a very good question, and it comes down to free speech. However, the other side of the coin, though, is going to be that if this, you know, organization is anti-government, as it seems to be portrayed to be, that could be a problem. Now, I have to be honest, me personally, I didn't know much about the 3%ers until you and I had a conversation about it before.
No, I didn't know about them either.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, I did go on their website, so I'm sure I'm on the FBI's radar right now, but that's okay. But the issue here is it goes beyond the right to free speech, because if the public's perception is that this agency is anti-government, and then you have a cop portraying that tattoo, I would have to say it's going to make the people and the citizens of that community question, at the very least, that officer.
Right, but the group itself says this is what they're trying to paint this as. We're not that at all. This is a misconception. I mean, that's what the group says. So now the officer could say, you're putting your misconceptions of what you think this group is into your decision. That I support it because I want a government that doesn't abuse its powers. That's why I'm a police officer. I'm here to enforce the law, which is why we're all here. I mean, couldn't they make that argument?
And I would hope that that's what the cop's philosophy is. Or, you know, was this the type of situation where he was 18 and got a tattoo when he was drunk? We don't know that. Regardless, though, the public's perception because of press is going to be, if the press portrays this as bad, it's going to look bad for that cop, and it's going to look bad for the community, too. It's funny because, like, I teach recruits frequently. And the first thing I tell the recruits when I teach them, as I say, you are an ambassador of your police department. So remember that. When you're on the street, what you say, what you do, how you act, even what you wear, is going to be a reflection on your agency. You know, so remember that. So okay, best case scenario, let's say what they're saying on their website, the 3%ers website, let's say it's true, they're not anti-government. But you know what, though? If 15% of his community thinks that they are anti-government, 15% of his community is going to think that he's anti-government. That could be a problem. A cop's job is already hard enough as it is. If you know, we all know that, and it's hard to explain in detail, but it's hard enough as it is.
Right, but this
makes our job harder.
This is a freedom of speech issue because it's not some private business saying I don't like the way you're representing our business. This is the government. That's what the First Amendment is about. This is a freedom of speech thing. I mean,
you're right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go on. I'm sorry.
No, you're absolutely right. That's what I was saying before. You know, the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is public perception. Now, me personally, I know for the past 25 years, I've had to curb my free speech in order to maintain the public's confidence in me. So, and who knows, maybe this guy, he has the tattoo now, maybe he regrets it because, as I said before, the job is hard enough. And you want to maintain the public's trust. Anything that you can do to keep that trust is worth it. I mean, if I were him, I would wear long sleeve shirts all the time. You know, because
is that a solution? Could they just say you got to cover it up? Either get a tattoo removed, or you just got to wear long sleeves.
That's a very good question too. I don't know if that's a solution, but it might be a Band-Aid, because my philosophy is, as a cop, when I'm wearing that uniform, I have rights, yes, I do, but the community's protection, the community's trust, outweighs any of my free speech issues. And that's the way most cops actually think.
So even if he was seen, even if the picture was not actually of him serving in a police capacity, if the picture was seen at him off duty in a bar, some random, you know, somebody took a picture of him, he happened to be in a picture at a bar, and the tattoo's shown, and he's known to be a police officer, he could still get in trouble.
It's possible. I mean, put it this way, and we'll talk about this guy in a minute, too. If I'm at a bar and I have a KKK tattoo on my forehead, you know, or my arm, okay, be more reasonable. If I have a KKK
By the way, I don't think they would let me into those type of bars, just knowing what the KKK and swastika stand. At least I'd have to change my last name.
Yeah. Change it to Daugherty.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I'll be fine. Hey, can you be less Jewy? We're going to go to the swastika hotel.
No, but what I'm trying to say, though, is that I get your point. You know, this one, the agency is kind of, or the organization, we'll call it, is kind of on the fence. You know, some people would think it's anti-government, that they're fascists. Some people would think that they're just an agency that keeps people in government in balance, in order. So I'll say it's on the fence. However, take it to the more dramatic extreme. If I'm in a bar and I have a KKK tattoo on my forearm and somebody sees that and I'm a cop, that destroys any credibility that I have as a cop personally. Not to mention, it goes beyond that to destroy the department's credibility. Make sense? So, yes, they do have a right to free speech, but also, not for nothing, but you have to understand, you serve the entire community. You are an ambassador of your agency. That's why I think it's a bad idea. The question I would ask, actually, is, you know, I wonder if, I want to know when this guy got the tattoo, because honestly, if he had it when they were doing the background check on him and they missed it, you know, that might be an issue.
I don't think most people have heard of the three percenters.
Well, like I said, I didn't hear of it until you said it to me.
And still, the fact remains, but there's several things that go into play here. Yeah, did he get the tattoo while he was on the job, before he was on the job? Also, his record.
Did he get it when he was 18, drunk, and stupid? You know, it could be also.
His record as a cop. Is he a good cop? You know, incidents and stuff like that? I mean, this has all got to be into play before this decision is rendered.
Right, and that's what I read in the article, actually, is that the cop, he's been a cop for four years, and apparently he had a very good record. So you know what? If he's doing a good job and the citizens are happy with him, then that's a win. But again, you know, now that this has been brought to light, you know, put it this way, if I was that cop and I wanted to be a good cop, I would cover it up. I'd get rid of it.
But I think now that he's known and that people know that he have this, you could have people like target him and making, you know, allegations against him that might not be true. I mean, of course, you would do the investigation, hopefully find he didn't do anything. But now it makes him a target. It makes him harder to do his job just because of this tattoo.
That's my point exactly. We need to do, as cops, we need to do everything we possibly can to maintain the public's trust. And anything that strips that away can be a big problem. Something as simple as a tattoo, something as simple as what you say, or something as simple as how you act. You have to be above reproach as a cop.
Well, you know, and that's kind of interesting. We'll move on to that in a minute. It's kind of interesting, though. I like that you said that you have to be above reproach as a cop. And, by the way, I agree with that. And we certainly hold our teachers to that standard now. But I do find it interesting what's going on with the nation. We'll talk about a little bit more in the last part of the show. Our president and his behavior, nobody would say is above reproach. What's going on with Justice Kavanaugh? Judge Kavanaugh, you know, that remains to be seen, because he might be, you know, we don't know what it's going to be, but he might no longer be above reproach, so he might lose his gig. So it is very interesting that you can have the highest office in the land and not be above reproach. You might be able to be a justice. Well, you can be a justice on the Supreme Court. We saw it with Clarence Thomas. Forget about with Kavanaugh. We saw it with Clarence Thomas that he clearly is not above reproach. And by the way, Bill Clinton, you look back now, he wasn't above reproach either. So it's not just Trump, but we knew. But with Trump, we all knew going in, and we all, you know, a lot of people turned the other way about. So it is very interesting that we are now in a position where police officers, teachers, even entertainers, we've seen a boatload of entertainers lose their gig over stuff they said or did. Everybody else seems to be above reproach, but the highest office in the land. And I, like I said, I do agree with you that to be a police officer, you kind of do have to be above reproach, and that's why, you know. With police officers, a lot of them, you know, their personal life, I think because they're under so much stress, a lot of times their personal life is not what you would think it would be. But you don't know about that as an average citizen, because if people did know.
And honestly, as a cop, I can't, and I'm working, I can't tell you about, you know, my personal life. I can't have a bad day at work. I'm not allowed to have a bad day at work.
Right.
It's funny that you say it. We're talking about being above reproach. I remember 26 years ago, maybe 27 years ago, when the guy who was doing my background check on me, one of the detectives, he actually said to me, he goes, "Dave, how do you feel about being above reproach?" And as a 21-year-old kid, I didn't really think about that too much. And he actually said to me, he goes, "Sometimes you're going to have to bite your tongue. You're going to give up some of your rights, and you're going to be in the spotlight all the time. Can you handle that?" So my point here is that cops, when you become a cop, you make a conscious choice to be above reproach.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a job requirement, just like the physical aspect of it, the mental aspect of it. Another job requirement is that you have to give up some of your rights and be above reproach.
I kind of like an America where police are looked at to be above reproach and where they're looked at to be heroes, role models. I like that America. I miss the America. And we've had this conversation on the show, and I've asked Joe, how can you like this, that, or the other? And Joe was like, well, I like the economy, blah, blah, blah. But I miss the America where our expectations of our political leaders was to be above reproach. I think that's why we're having a lot of the issues we have. I miss that aspect of our society.
Right, and I have no problem with people being, like, I have no regrets being above reproach, but I made a choice to be that way.
Right.
So if you want to be a cop, if you want to be a politician, if you want to be a teacher, you have to make that same choice, too. You have to say to yourself, you know what? My mission is more important than my feelings.
No, I agree. Good. It takes a special person to live that type of life, and it used to be like, well, it's not for everybody. But because our society is getting more devalued and more base, it's like now it could be for anybody. And, you know, anybody can be a leader, even though they're not really leaders, because we'll just turn our head because we've lowered our expectations.
Yeah.
True.
Not so much low expectations. You want results. You know, if you're voting somebody in to get results and they're getting the results, you didn't vote them to teach Sunday school.
But you can be above reproach and still get results. We have a tradition.
There hasn't been a lot of people. It's all double talk, double speak. You know, nope.
Well, that's your political take on it.
Yeah.
But I mean, even President Bush W, who I did not like at all.
You should see what he said about you.
Yeah, well, he wasn't fans. I wouldn't save the country like you are. But, like you could look at the way he conducted himself. Not his policies, for me. Some people loved his policies. But you could look at the way he conducted himself, how he was with his family.
Mm-hmm.
You could go, all right, this guy is trying to live to a certain standard that you could go, I could try to emulate that and I would be a good person. Again, you could separate the I think you can separate the policy. But I want somebody that you can look up to. And listen, it turns out JFK, who everybody looked up to, was doing shady crap all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But
imagine this, actually. You make a good point. But imagine this. Putting aside Trump's policies, and I know we're not talking politics in this segment, but bear with me. Mm-hmm. Trump's policies aside, okay, policy aside, imagine if everything that Donald Trump has said, he said through Obama's mouth, the way Obama said it. Do you think he'd be more success or less successful?
I think people would run into their partisan corners. I think people
people on the far left and the far right would still go into the corners. I get that, but Barack Obama was an orator.
Yeah,
he had a way with speaking. He still has a way with speaking. So now imagine if Donald Trump adopted that same type of demeanor and professionalism.
I think
imagine how much more successful he'd be.
No, I agree.
I would agree. Like, you know, I would definitely agree with that.
If the man could form a sentence and not poop tweet all the time, I think he'd be much more successful. I don't think he'd have an approval rating in the mid-30s. But that's not who this guy is. And, you know,
that's the point I'm trying to make, though. Is when Donald Trump ran for president, he should have said to himself, you know what, I might be an ass. but because I'm running for president, I need to be above reproach.
Yeah, but that's not. That's not.
I will act as if.
But people like Joe wanted something different. They wanted something.
I'm getting something. This is not who we are, and this is bullshit. I want somebody that's going to start to get things done. And Trump is starting to get things done.
And Joe, he can get stuff done, but he can do it in a way with respect and honor. But like you said before, you honor the office.
He said, first, "Yeah, I understand that." But he said from the get go, he wasn't looking to be politically correct right from the get go.
Yeah, but you don't. But that's we've talked about this before. That's a misconception about politically correct. You can tell things. You can be a straight shooter without being an asshole. I consider myself a pretty straight shooter, whether the left or the right. I'll call anybody out if I think it's bullshit. I'm just not an asshole about it.
Slow down.
You deserve it. The nation doesn't.
The bottom line is, the office should be respected, but the first person to respect the office is the person sitting in it.
I agree.
Oh, nice. Yes.
No, I agree. You and I do not always see eye to eye politically, but we do see eye to eye on our expectations of the people in the office, regardless of political affiliation.
Right. We don't see eye to eye, and as an independent, all I do is piss you and Joe off every
time
I call
in. You don't
piss
me off at all. I'm independent, too. I'm independent. I just had to register for one team if I wanted to vote for the primaries in New York. That's a New York State feature. Trust me. You know, I was when Obama did shit I didn't like, I posted it. You know, I don't care. You know, people. Oh, you always put down Trump. Yeah, because he does a lot of shit I don't like at a rapid rate.
Devin needs a break.
I need a break. All right, moving on. I'm going to take a break.
You need a Trumpy bear.
I need a Trumpy bear.
A Trumpy bear to hug.
Let's move on to the next police story here.
All right.
A Georgia police officer has been suspended after anti-fascist exposed his history of liking racist Facebook posts explicitly promoting the Ku Klux Klan, which is a violent white supremacist terror group. East Elijah Police Department officer Tommy Long was put on paid administrative leave, pending an investigation into any ties he might have to the KKK. Chief of Police Larry Callahan told the Huffington Post. Atlanta anti-fascist, a member group of the Torch Network, that's ironic, of militant anti-fascists, which confronts and exposes white nationalists across America, published an article with screenshots showing Long liking multiple Facebook posts promoting the KKK. They kind of did to him what I did to Craig Grant and the scamming.
Yes.
They like his own social media activities. Go, ha ha, here's a picture, deny it.
Yeah, really.
Callahan told the Huffington Post that Long admitted the Facebook page belonged to him, but either denied or claimed not to remember liking some of the KKK-related posts uncovered by Atlanta anti-fascists. Long did not respond to requests for comment. There is no evidence that Long himself is a member of the KKK. He was friends with six accounts appearing to belong to two KKK members, Imperial Wizard Charles Jeffrey Denton, a.k.a. Cole Thorne. What is he, a singer? He needs to give himself a fake rock
band? Yeah, really, guy's got to relax.
He's the lead singer in the band. He's dreamy. Yeah.
Imperial Wizard, I thought this was a Harry Potter group.
Funny.
My bad.
Inspectus Hangus. And Grand Dragon, really? You're Asian now? Yeah. Justin Stephen Owens, a.k.a. Stephen Owens. That's not really an a.k.a. He's just using his middle and last name.
Yeah, really.
Is he a comic? Okay. Like when he does his W-9. Is that his stage name, real name, hate name?
Listen, call me Stephen Owens, but make the check out to Justin Stephen Owens.
Right, when he, you know, like right. After the rally, the smoldering cross. All right, let me get you W-9.
Yeah. When can I call you to come back to the next round?
Yeah, right. The cross is smoldering. Everybody's taking this shit. They got a W-9.
We'll check the comment cards. We'll see how the rest of the play awaits you. We'll let you know if you can come back.
Okay. I think the whole N-word thing went over pretty good. I got
we had some comments. He didn't use it enough.
Yeah, right. Plus, there was a guy that was in last week. You know, he does the same stuff.
All I want to know.
Not so unique.
I hate black people. I hate Jews.
Every guy every week. You know, you're nothing spring. You know, nothing special.
Could you play a guitar when you preach your hate? We'd really like that.
I'm not going to lower myself to that.
No, man, I'm an artist.
I'm no guitar hate act.
My hate is genuine.
Yeah.
Calls another Klan member to act out hanging somebody. So I'm tying the noose.
We're going
to
do the nooses.
And he's hanging. Yeah. And he's hanging. This is completely wrong.
Very, very wrong.
Good thing Dave's no longer a member of the force. He would have had a punch out a long time ago.
Right.
Yeah. We just hear dial tone. Dave?
I'm still here.
All right. I digress. Anyway. After Atlanta anti-fascist published his article, Long temporarily deactivated his Facebook account. When it was reactivated, he was no longer friends with two KKK members.
What?
He has not, however, unliked racist posts from the two white supremacists. Are you upset about BLM, Black Lives Matter, being in Georgia? Owens, the KKK member, wrote in Facebook post July 2016. You like to sit back and watch yet another city destroyed by these mongrels? Our state, Georgia, with this crap going on. Take a stand. Save our land. Join the Klan. It's like rap, but without the rhythm.
Yeah.
The post links to the website to the United Northern and Southern Knights of the Ku Klux Klan. Officer Long liked this post. In December 2016, Owens posted a photo of gold ring inscribed with the initials of the United Northern and Southern Knights and the blood drop cross symbol of the KKK. Long liked this post, too. In February 2016, Denton, a.k.a. Thornton, who now lives in Elijah, Georgia, according to public records, posted a photo to his Facebook page showing himself in a KKK robe with what appears to be a burning cross in the background, long like that post. Appears to be.
Appears to be.
Hey, there's a forest fire behind that guy. Warn him. No, it's just one tree with a real weird branch going across it. Appears to be. Are you
very, very symmetrical looking tree, isn't it?
Better get Smokey. He's a brown bear. He won't be like there.
Only you.
No, no, don't hang the bear.
You hung Smokey the bear.
Like,
no, that's Trumpy the bear. He's let him in.
No, we don't hang Trumpy the bear.
No, let him in.
Trumpy the bear hangs himself.
Want to see a dick pic of Trumpy bear?
What?
Want to see a dick pic of Trumpy bear?
Funny.
I like how Dave's still on dick pics.
very furry. Much more Yeti.
Much more Yeti. In January 2017, Denton confusingly wrote on Facebook that he was really tired of being called a racist just because he's in the Klan.
Oh, my God.
Don't be a hater.
Confusingly wrote.
The KKK are simply separatists, he wrote, who believe all races should stick together and not mix. Although less active in recent years, the KKK has terrorized the United States and primarily the South for well over a century. KKK members have attacked, murdered, and lynched black Americans. Long liked this post, too. Long appeared to have a somewhat close relationship with Denton online. The two repeatedly commented on each other's posts. When Long wrote on Facebook about the death of his friend late last month, Denton commented to express his condolences. Denton did not respond to a request for comment on whether Long is a member of the KKK. The Owens, the other KKK member, couldn't be reached for comment. Long is the fourth Georgia law officer employee over the last month to face professional consequences over being exposed for their alleged ties or sympathies with white supremacist groups. In late August, a Georgia Department of Corrections employee resigned after an investigation into his alleged affiliation with the neo-Nazi group Vanguard America. Earlier last month, two detention officers for the Spalding County Sheriff's Office were fired after online chat logs showed them expressing sympathy for Adolf Hitler and George Rockwell, the former leader of the American Nazi Party.
Oh, my God.
The attractions of police work to white supremacists should be obvious, from the opportunities to gather intelligence to furthering their agenda while wearing the badge, Atlanta anti-fascist told the Huffington Post. The United Northern and Southern Knights seem especially keen on attracting police members. We will always expose white supremacists within the police or the prison system as we encounter them. Callahan, the East Elijah police chief, told the Huffington Post that Long has been an officer with the department since 2010. Callahan said he never had witnessed Long act in a racist manner, and that a review of Long's arrest record showed no evidence of discriminatory policing. Dave, did you ever encounter social media posts of fellow police officers or friends that concerned you?
Personally, no. Fortunately for me, most of the cops that I work with are smart enough not to like this type of thing, you know?
Well, at least not publicly.
Well, yeah, but again, what this guy did, when he made a conscious choice to like that page or that post or whatever, he should have thought about what I was saying before. He should have thought about the consequences of his actions, not, you know, against himself, but also his peers, because honestly, not for not, like the last situation we talked about with the tattoo, that was, you know, I was on the fence about that. We talked about that. But with this guy told the public that he likes racists. So
what does that do for his career?
Not to mention, what does that do for his department again?
Well, hold on. I want to talk about that. But what happens if he liked these posts before he became a police officer?
Well, then that should be brought up during a background investigation. I used to do background checks for cops. And I can't comment on, even though I'm retired now, I still can't tell you about the investigations that I did, but I can tell you, one of the things that I used to do was check the candidate's Facebook, his MySpace, his social media, his Twitter accounts. I'd have them log on, and I'd go through them. Mm-hmm. And there have been several times when we had candidates that we were looking at, and, you know, I saw some of the stuff that they posted or they liked. And I'll say this, 95% of the time, after I spoke to them about the questions that I had, they answered my questions satisfactorily. Mm-hmm. But you have to be asking these questions as a background investigator. The other 5% of the time, it's funny because there were other signs that this person may or may not be a good candidate to be a cop. So it wasn't. So the social media accounts just supplemented that theory. And does that make sense?
No, it does. So you were saying, so this can tear a police department apart, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. Like I said, this guy But if you live in that town, whether you're black, white, yellow, or brown, if you live in that town and you encounter that cop, what are you going to think?
If I'm white, I'm going to think I'm going to be aight. That's what I'm going to think. I'm going to get off.
Maybe. But you know what, though? My point, though, is how I said before, when stuff like this happens, it makes that cop's job that much more difficult, not to mention the people that work with him. Right now, if I worked with this guy, I'd be like, you're a dumbass. You know, you made my job hard enough. Harder too, because you and I both wear the same uniform. They're not going to see your name tag. They're not going to see my name tag when we encounter these people that we work for.
Would you?
They're going to see the uniform, and they're going to remember this story.
Would you go
about
into your
the one
chief
cop from this town?
If this was, say, this was your partner, or it's just not your partner, would you go into your chief? Go listen. As long as this person's on the force, I can't work. Would you like threaten to resign if they didn't get rid of somebody like this?
Well, I wouldn't give up my career. However, I would definitely ask for a partner transfer. Because, again, if him and I are going to a house, and we go through that door together, and they see him, they're going to see whoever we're dealing with is going to see me in him, even though I am not him. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does make sense. I think it definitely tarnishes how you look within the community.
And you should really tell him to take off his hood before he goes up to the door.
Yeah.
No, what he did was stupid. I mean, you're liking racist tweets. Even before you got in the department, it should be scrutinized, and I wouldn't bring him onto the force. And now as an officer on the force, and he's liking those tweets, he should be suspended.
Here's something. I agree with you.
Well, that's a good point.
Hold on. I want to stick my fangs into Joe. Hold on 1 second there. It's going to be juicy. I agree with you 100%.
Delicious.
However, our president has repeatedly retweeted white supremacist groups. He should have more common sense than a police officer in Georgia.
One would hope.
Come on now. Hold the president to the same standard you hold this dumbass to.
He's a law enforcement, and he tweeted on sites that he was looking at. He was just breezing through. This guy, he's friends.
How do you know? Are you sitting there on the toilet with him as he's looking at his Twitter feed?
Sure, he's doing it. But on this case, if he's got this cop has got to be suspended.
But wait a minute, you're holding. You don't know how the president processes what he tweets or retweets. You're holding that. This is my problem. You're holding this Georgia cop to a higher standard than the president of the United States.
Yeah, because in some demented way, I'm holding a police officer to a higher standard than the president.
Than the commander in chief of our armed forces.
Stop it. Stop.
Here we go.
Stop it with this full bullshit. Week in and week out on this.
The rest of the country.
What, Dave?
I said I'll give you a segue, Joe, before you piss off the rest of the country. East Coast, West Coast so far. So here's my segue for you.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. The guy should be suspended. But now what do you do with him? You can't fire him for his First Amendment rights to free speech. So you're stuck with this guy.
He's a desk job.
So he's got a desk job. That's what I was saying before, though. You make a good point, Joe. What do you do with him now? That's why background investigations have to be done thoroughly and effectively, efficiently, and, you know, 110%, because you want to make sure you don't hire people like this. Because was this guy above reproach? No. When he clicked like, he made a conscious choice to not be above reproach.
But let's go to Joe's presidential argument. What, this guy's got a great police record. You know, it doesn't seem like he showed discrimination while on the job. To go to Joe's argument, he's getting good results. So maybe we should overlook his behavior.
Was Trump clicking like on KKK Facebook pages?
Pretty much, yes.
Really?
Yes,
the example is?
There was a white supremacist group in England, and he had during the campaign, he had the Hitler Jewish star. There's been several of them. Yes.
Yeah, but
he repeatedly does it.
Yeah, but in that instance, it didn't. The way that star looked, it didn't look like.
He repeated a story about a racist group about South Africa not too long ago. It's not a one time. Oops, I liked the wrong thing. Everybody gets one. Everybody gets one mulligan. All right, I didn't mean to like that. My bad. He wouldn't say my bad, but everybody else would say my bad if you caught him in a stupid thing. Oh, that was fucking stupid. I didn't mean to do it. He does it repeatedly. That being said,
I don't think he does it consciously.
I think he should. I think
consciously.
I think when he's on his Twitter account, because he said these are official statements. This is he and Spicer said these are official statements. These are statements of record when he tweets. So they're going to go into the law. Yes, that's, believe it or not, yes.
No, I remember that it was said. I just think that I think that in saying that, I'm not trying to crawl inside his head. It's scary in there. But I'm just saying that, you know, it's like that's a case of wanting having your cake and eating it, too, because wanting it to be official statements at one point and then saying, you know, I was just like, you know, just talking, just tweeting.
There was tweeting, not from the president.
He doesn't have the luxury of just like blathering.
But has Trump
like
destroyed
the
country? Is Trump destroyed? But what I'm saying is, because week in and week out, is Trump destroying this country?
He's not helping.
But he's fixing the economy,
consumer,
you don't want to go into it, but I'm telling you.
Because you don't want the facts. That's why I don't.
Read the facts. Go out there. See, talk to people that are day in and day out. Their
those
jobs
are facts.
Are
those are stories.
No, those are real life people, not the facts you refuse to disseminate all the time.
Listen, when people were losing their houses during the housing bubble, there was other people that were getting rich. So you're going to say there wasn't a problem? No, those are fucking stories.
No, but day in and day out, you see, talk to people every day. Their lives are getting better because the economy is getting better.
Yeah,
they're getting more money.
That don't say that. So
okay.
Those are just stories. That's why you look.
I mean, it was trending that way before he came in.
Yeah, it was. It was. And before, results didn't matter because Joe didn't like Obama. When we were losing jobs and we started adding jobs, Joe did not come here and touting that Obama turned the economy around. So it's not really results. It's just Joe likes this guy, which is fine. I'm a results person.
Well, but Obama was bringing back a recovery that was really there was no job. There was no, you know, it was not a really good recovery.
He's actually added more jobs. And his last 18
but he
months.
Never built consumer confidence. He never. You know,
no. Trump's had consumer confidence.
All right.
But the thing is, I'm a facts guy. I'm a facts guy. So I can point to you numbers. You don't want numbers, though.
No, I look at. But you look at facts, and you never disseminate the facts. Why? The reason why. You never do.
No, I look at the facts. I look what the jobs are. That's what I do. I look at the jobs. I look at wage growth. I look at inflation. I look at it all.
And we're doing pretty good. We're doing very good.
But there's more to being a president, and this goes back to what Dave was saying. There's more to being in these positions than just results, and especially when you're president, because there's results in all aspects. But there's more. Dave is saying, though, if you're going to take on as a government worker, whether it be state, local, federal, that Dave is saying you have to be above reproach, because people, in order to perform your job to the maximum ability, and I could say, yeah, he's doing fine in certain areas, but then I would also say there's other areas where, and Dave would say, where he could be doing better if he wasn't doing X, Y, and Z. And we're talking about how to have, because, you know, we're paying these guys. You know, when Dave was a detective, the local people paid his salary. You know, the president, we pay his salary. They work for us. That's the, when you were a government job, you work for the people. Mm-hmm. That's the gig. So, and you take on responsibilities, and you can't do stupid shit like liking KKK posts or retweeting fascist. It's just shit you can't do. Now, as a comic, if I do it, most people aren't going to care, but a club might say, you know what, we saw your social media, you followed us, you retweeted this white supremacist thing, I don't want you at my club.
But you can't say that as a you can't really. It's a false equivalence talking about a comedian versus somebody who's...
No, I'm saying, but I'm trying to make it as base as possible.
Yeah.
I'm saying is, I'm not really letting anybody down but myself when I fuck up.
Right, right.
But what I'm saying is, if a police officer fucks up, if a governor fucks up, if a congressperson fucks up, if a president fucks up, it's letting the community down. There's a lot more, which is why I respect Dave so much, because Dave took the responsibility of being a police officer. Go, listen, I got to live my life this certain way. I got to live it for my boss, the police chief. I got to live it for my town. I have to live it for the other officers who serve with me, because I know any way I fuck up, it affects all these other people. Do I have that right, Dave?
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty much, I mean, Dave and other people that have public jobs like that serve at the, you know, pleasure of the people,
right,
because the people who pay them and vote them in or whatever, that they're held to a standard that a normal person doesn't has the luxury of not
here's
having
what,
to be held
here's
to.
What I love about, here's what I love about the good police, what the vast majority of them are.
Mm-hmm.
When we had all those protests a couple of years ago, those Black Lives Matter protests in the city, some of those people were yelling death to cops and shit like that, which I don't, you know, I'm like, you can have freedom of speech. I just don't support that message.
Right.
Or the occupying movement.
No. The specific
Black Lives Matter? Okay.
Specifically the anti-police shit. Some of that was all the Black Lives Matter was not anti-police shit.
No.
But there was a strain of that.
There was.
While all that was going on, what I respected so much about the NYPD is like, you know what? These are our citizens. We still have to protect them. We still have to serve. So I will protect them. And they would protect them from other protesters who wanted those guys to shut the hell up because they knew they had a higher calling.
Yeah.
So that's why I always have like a special appreciation for people that can do that. That's why I get so frustrated with this president because he's always playing to the base. He hasn't gotten – it's like you got to – you don't have to compromise your values, but you have to be everybody's leader.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially in times of crisis or whatever it is. Like, of course, you're going to have a special affinity for the people who support you. Dave's going to like a guy who supports the police a lot more than somebody who says death to the police.
Right.
But in my opinion, Dave could correct me if I'm wrong, he's going to serve and protect all of them the same. Do I have that right?
Whether you love me or you hate me because I'm a cop, I'm still going to treat you like everybody else. You make a good point about NYPD, Dad, and look what happened in Dallas, Texas a couple of years ago. Here we have, I think it was four cops that were assassinated protecting Black Lives Matter.
Right.
They went out there to protect their protests. These people were the ones chanting death to cops, you know, pigs and bacon, fine, like, whatever. But you know what, though? Those cops still went out there that same day. They left their families behind. They walked out their front doors. They drove to the police station, put their uniform on, and drove to the protest to protect the protest, and they were actually killed because they were treating the protesters like anybody else, whether it's Black Lives Matter, what doesn't matter what the protest is. Those cops still went out there and treated them the same way. And in my mind, that's those are hero cops, and that's what it boils down to. As I said before, as a cop, you have to be above reproach, and sometimes you have to keep your mouth shut, and all the time, you have to go out there and do the job. And the job is to serve the community. And it does not matter. It does not matter what the community's message might be. You have to protect the community and their message. Bottom line.
Well said. I got nothing to add to that.
Nope, that's the job.
Other than I would say everybody who works in government, from the dog catcher to the president, should hold themselves and should be expected to hold themselves to the standard that Dave and the police officers that he served with held themselves to. You're expected to get results, and you're expected to hold yourself to a higher level. In my mind, that's the gig. And it has nothing to do with party affiliation. That's the gig. Right, left, center, that's the gig. You work for the people. You're doing a higher call. The same way I would say with religious leaders, they should be held to a higher standard, which is why it's so disconcerting when you hear about these religious leaders abusing the power that people give them and taking advantage.
Yeah.
You're held to a higher power. There is a certain class of citizenry within our community, our nation, that are looked upon. It's a great responsibility. If you can't do it, take another gig. That's fine. Nothing wrong with that. But, you know, that's just the way I look.
Make that choice.
Yeah.
Exactly. Ask yourself that question. Can I be above reproach? If not, you know, work for IBM, Apple.
Dave, I think we've established with this radio show and my comedy act, I most certainly cannot be held above reproach. I should be reproached at every moment. Well, Dave, very well said. I'm glad we got your perspective on this. And I guess I will be talking to you soon, sir.
Sounds good. My pleasure being on their show. Thanks a lot,
Dave,
guys.
Thanks
really
again.
Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks,
always
Dave.
Good to have you.
I'll get the show up. When I get the show up, I was going to say I'll get it up tomorrow, but there's no guarantees. Whenever I get the show up, I will let you know. As always, a great job by you. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Take care, Dave.
All right. Good night, guys. Good night.
Night. Thanks. Yeah, you know what? Don't be bragging about when you're going to get it up next, because we already had that conversation.
So do you want to do a quick scamming scammers, or do you want to just take a break and go to where we argue?
quick break.
Quick break, no scamming scammers tonight?
No, we could do
We'll get into our arguments.
I think we did.
Let's have our closing arguments.
All right, let me find what the fuck I was looking for. All right, let me play. Oh, I didn't pick a song. I should pick a song.
I did pick a song.
You just didn't
play the song you
set it up.
Yeah.
Shall we hum together until he gets his song?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why don't we...